Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. Verses 1 through 13, all of Isaiah chapter 55. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the power, the wisdom, and the grace of your word. And thank you for how that your word impacts us, guides us, counsels us, and strengthens us. Father, more and more, help us to become the diligent students of your word who are faithful hearers and doers, and do a perfect work in our hearts as we listen to your word and your spirit mightily today for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We're very honored to have as our phone guest today, Cecily Routman. She's the director of the Jewish Pro-Life Foundation. Cecily, how are you today?
Thank you, Pastor. I'm fine. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show this morning.
Well, a privilege to have you. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few moments just to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners about the work and the mission behind the Jewish Pro-Life Foundation.
Thank you. Well, as you said, my name is Cecily Routman, and I founded the Jewish Pro-Life Foundation in 2007. Before that, I was not socially conscious and not aware of the abortion issue, but I got the call in 2005 when I was listening to a national public radio broadcast about the review at the Supreme Court on the ban of partial birth abortion. And in that radio show, I heard a Jewish woman declare that she had a civil and a religious right to kill her baby in a late-term abortion like that. And I was appalled for several reasons. One is that she was broadcasting to the world that Jews were once again baby killers. I was very concerned about that in terms of relations between faiths and people of goodwill. It seemed that the blood libel was again raising its ugly head. And nothing could be further from the truth in terms of what Judaism has to say about abortion, which is that it is prohibited. So I was appalled and wondered how that had happened. And the other reason that I was concerned about it is because, you know, we are a minority community, and we need to be protecting and caring for our babies so that we can fulfill the biblical commandment of to be fruitful and multiply. So I thought it was not only demographically but spiritually very dangerous. So I looked into the problem. There was no Jewish pro-life foundation in any way, shape, or form. And so after a year of negotiating with God about me starting it, I started it. Because, of course, I have to fulfill the will of God in my own life. And I was very happy to do it, although I had many misgivings. Mm-hmm. And so here we are, years later, I'm speaking with you. So the Jewish Pro-Life Foundation now is an IRS-approved 501c3. Mm-hmm. We started as a private foundation, and now we have become an educational public charity because in just this past year in April, we brought our message to Israel, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But basically what we do is we provide a Jewish pro-life voice in the public square while serving the Jewish community with much-needed pro-life education, Jewish-friendly pregnancy care and adoption referrals, and healing after abortion. We are not affiliated with any Jewish denomination or any other political organization or religious organization or movement. We are committed to Torah values. So I thought this was very important. As a young girl growing up, my father was religious. My mother was more agnostic, and she taught her girls what most Jewish girls are taught, which is that abortion is allowed in Judaism. This is what my mother had learned and passed it on to us. And I did not question that. But when I began to question the horrors of abortion, why any Jewish people were for it, based on our history of being targeted for genocide, I realized that part of the problem is that our Torah that was given to us at Mount Sinai was, you know, the perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. And it was given to us in a specific oral form. It was given to Moses. And that legal tradition, which is all about, of course, not shedding innocent blood, you know, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, where it says in the verses, be fruitful and multiply. And then after the Noahide, the flood, Noah was given the seven rules for living, one of which was to respect life. Mm-hmm. And then we have in Genesis 9:6, he who spills the blood of man within man shall so his blood be spilled, for in the image of God made he man, and you be fruitful and multiply. So our Old Testament verses are full of these very strong pro-life messages, as well as warnings against child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And they are threaded all throughout the Old Testament. So, yes, I wanted to understand how we had gotten from be fruitful and multiply and don't sacrifice your children to Moloch, to how we got to this woman that I heard on the radio broadcast, which was it was a religious right to have a late-term abortion. Mm-hmm. And in my investigations, I learned that the oral tradition from the beginning of Sinai to the first several hundred years of the turn of the millennium when Jesus was preaching, right, that the law had been transmitted orally, but at that point, the Jews were dispersed for the second time, and the rabbis decided they had to write the law down. Mm-hmm. So then the rabbinical element came into our legal system, our halakha, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. And from then on, rabbis could write down their opinions. And what happened over time, and this is my opinion and my understanding, is that the law became compromised by these rabbis who were influenced by secular and pagan cultures where we were once again immersed. Mm-hmm. And so there's opinions that vary a lot from the normative Jewish law. And these opinions give a lot of wiggle room to abortion in Judaism and Jewish culture. So, you know, 2,000 years later, we now have in the media and in many Jewish establishment organizations saying that abortion is a Jewish value and a religious right, and it is apostasy and terrible. So I'm really grateful that the Jewish Pro-Life Foundation exists because, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's spiritually very dangerous to insult the Creator like this every day by not only defying His commandment to be fruitful and multiply, but also to limit the Jewish culture, because we were His chosen people, and His will for us was to create a heaven on earth and be a light unto the nations, and then also segueing into the Israel work that we're doing. You know, Israel is the Holy Land, and you know that is supposed to be the center of spiritual enlightenment in the world, and when Israel was reconstituted in 1948. On my birthday, May 14th is my birthday. Of course, that was 59. That was 11 years later. But it was founded by secular Zionists who came out of Europe, and it was not founded again on Torah principles. So in Israel, we have a very secular government there, who was proud of their liberal social policies, and unfortunately, those social policies include ready access to abortion on many levels. In fact, when
Cecily, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, sorry to jump in there.
I'll just finish up.
I was just going to mention that our time is almost gone, but I wanted to mention this, that like it sounds like part of what you're saying is one of the key problems, of course, was people, they were getting away from the Word of God and the basic Ten Commandments. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's actually correct. And because our scripture says that the child in the womb is included in the definition of murder, our Ten Commandments that include thou shalt not murder applies to the baby in the womb. Yes. So, yes. And I always say, I will finish, that if people can just abide with the big three, I say idolatry, adultery, and child sacrifice. If people can just avoid those three, God can be very pleased with us because those emanate into all the other laws, right? And so we become very compliant in that way. So, yeah, that's true. We have now created a religion in our image instead of God's image, yes.
Okay. Well, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about it, what website can they go to do just that?
Yes, they can go to jewishprolifefoundation.org, and on that website there is a link to our Israel project, and the website there you can learn is jewishprolifefoundation.co.il, and there's directions about how to find an English version of that. And as you had suggested earlier, it's a very expensive project going on in Israel. In America, I do most of my own work to keep expenses down, but when we went to Israel, I had to hire a digital marketer and a website producer for all of our content. So anyway, the bills add up. It would be nice if people would learn about our work and contribute or pray for us, because that, in the midst of war there and in a very secular society, it's very important for our work to continue there so that we transform Israel into a Torah-based society that's a sanctuary state for all Jews, including those in the womb.
Okay, and so if people wish, if they choose or wish to give, then they can go onto the website to give then, is that correct?
Yes, we have a donation app. Thank you so very much, Pastor, for taking the time to talk with us today. God bless your organization and all the people that you're affiliated with. They're wonderful prayer warriors, and you're doing wonderful work.
All
blessings,
right.
Blessings, blessings.
Amen. So we would like to encourage every single listener, please pray much for Cecily Rautman and the organization, the Jewish Pro-Life Foundation. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Lift up your head, lift lift up your eyes to see all of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing that he is alive, shining.
Music of Brian and Katie Torwalt with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. In just a few moments, we're going to introduce our phone guest, who is Brother Charlie Weissong. I'm trying to forget Brother Charlie's name. I don't know how I'm going to do that. But anyway, he's going to come on to share with us. But I want to go ahead and begin by sharing Exodus 20. As one of our passages of Scripture, which contains the wonderful and powerful Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the rest, The seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Thank you, Lord, again for your word, the power that rests upon your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is an atomic bomb weapon to use and to put to use in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our community, our states, our nation, our world. Help us to be mindful that the word of God is the most powerful weapon in the universe. And help us as your people and as your church to be wise enough to put your wonderful word to work mightily and abundantly in every area of our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, we're grateful to have Brother Charlie Weissong with us once again. And Brother Charlie has been involved with using the wonderful tool of the Ten Commandments from the Word of God for decades now. Brother Charlie, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Brother Joseph. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Good to have you once again. And as we begin, once again, I want to ask if you'll just pray for our listeners to hear and receive everything the Lord wants to say to them, and for them to be up for the challenge that the Holy Spirit lays before them, that which he's calling them to do.
Yes. And I might add, we are dealing with events in our time right now where hearing the right instructions can be powerful. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, I do now pray that the listeners would be blessed by what is said. I pray that you'd anoint Brother Joseph and myself to speak the words of truth, the words of power from the Scriptures. And, Father, we pray for a changed nation, a revived nation. And we pray this in a revived people, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, Brother Charlie, I guess many of our listeners probably remember that you were with us just a few days ago, but there may be some who missed that broadcast or others when you've been with us. So would you take a few moments to further introduce yourself? And then we want to dive right in to talk further about the project you're involved with very heavily right now.
All right. I did the devotions at American Family Radio about a week ago, mm-hmm. and I said, to say a little bit about myself, I said, I'm 83 years old. I have 15 children, 11 boys and 4 girls, no adoptions and no twins, and I'm not only pro-life, I'm prolific, and God has blessed us now, my wife and me, with 53 grandchildren, expecting 54, and I just believe in trusting God for everything, and I hope I do it better as I get older. And but God has blessed me. Chattanooga, I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And in 1993, we closed our last abortion clinic here in Chattanooga. Mm. And it was a wonderful thing. The pro-life community in Chattanooga came together, and the man who owned the building was in bankruptcy, and the court ordered him to sell his house and clinic building. We had 3 days to raise $250,000, and we did so, and we raised $300,000 in a week, and we went into the court and outbid the abortionists for the building, and we kicked the abortion clinic out.
Praise
and then
God.
Chattanooga has been abortion-free for 31 years.
Hallelujah. That's a glorious story.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Well, and again, you've, by the grace of God, you've used the Ten Commandments as a wonderful tool to help, you've been used of the Lord to encourage believers to really make greater use of the Ten Commandments as the wonderful teaching and preaching tool that it is, that is greatly needed not only in our culture, but all over the world as well. Would you share with our listeners about the present Ten Commandments project utilizing the yard signs you're involved with and also how they can get involved?
All right. Well, let me say this. It started with my own family. Mm-hmm. When I said for our devotions this morning, someone named the Ten Commandments, and there was dead silence. We had 11 children at the time. The oldest was 14. They'd been in Christian school. He had been in Christian school for 9 years, and the others as well. But they didn't know him. And I said, well, why don't we give me the ones you know, we'll just work all together and get it. And even working together, they couldn't give me the Ten Commandments. And I really got angry. I stood up, I looked out the dining room window, and I thought, the Christian school has failed to teach my children the Ten Commandments. And then God reminded me, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And I said, Lord, I understand. I'm the one that's failed. Mm-hmm. Now, the school should have taught them, yes. But I was the one who principally failed. And so I said, tomorrow we'll begin learning the Ten Commandments. And then I thought, let me test the school to see how many children know the Ten Commandments. And out of 100 students, one knew the commandments. And out of about 15 teachers, one knew all of the Ten Commandments. And I realized I was on to something, and I started testing churches, and I found out that not even 1% of Christians who regularly attend church can name all 10 of the commandments.
Mm.
That's horrible.
Mm.
And so with that, I started doing some work, and I started working with Chick-fil-A. One of the owners, Bubba Cathy, came up with a way to memorize the 10 commandments using your 10 fingers. And like with 5 fingers, you can make a salute And the fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. Mm-hmm. And it's just a wonderful tool. And at any rate, I began doing that, and then I realized we need, it's not the world that needs to learn the Ten Commandments, it's God's people that need to learn the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. If my people, which are called by my name, and one of my favorite verses about revival is Psalm 81, verses 13 and 14, and he says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, for I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. And if that ever a scripture that is applicable to today's situation, it's that one. Mm-hmm. God needs to turn his hand against our enemies. And I want to come back and I want to teach everyone the Ten Commandments. I'd like to get fathers to begin teaching their family the laws of God, and then put a copy of the Ten Commandments up in their home. And if I could just reduce down what I'm trying to do into three words, it would be display, learn, and teach. Display the Ten Commandments at your home. Learn the Ten Commandments well enough to teach them to your children, and then teach them to your children on a daily basis, like God said. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and that's every day. Mm-hmm. But God tells us in Deuteronomy 6, he gives us the complete instructions for raising our children. He tells us who, what, when, where, how, and why, all in three small verses. And only God could do something like that. But so anyway, I began to teach my children the Ten Commandments. I put a copy up in our home, and my home changed so dramatically that my brother came up from Atlanta, and he said, "What has happened to your family?" It was that dramatic. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got into this, and the idea of putting up yard signs is something that we can do very easily and very effectively.
Hmm. Okay, and I want to mention too, along with the great suggestions that you just shared too, we're encouraging every listener, make it your goal. Not only are we hoping that you will get one of the yard signs Brother Charlie is about to share more about, and put it in your front yard, one more way to be a wonderful witness to your home and your community a witness for the Word of God, but also pray the Ten Commandments every single day, because God's Word tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and the Spirit of God knows how to help us as the church to apply the wonderful Word of God and the wisdom of the Ten Commandments as we live our lives following the Lord. So but tell our listeners specifically about the Ten Commandments yard signs that that you've shared, and how they can get involved with getting one to put in their own yard as well.
Okay, they can go to 10laws.us, and they can see the sign there. If they want to purchase one, they can do that. But Brother Joseph, I say some things on that website that are significant. I mean, really significant. Mm-hmm. And Hosea 4:6, the last part says this: seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And God says, and we look around, and who's being deceived in this society? And we talk about transgender and all these other things that are just ridiculous. They mm-hmm. aren't even logical. They couldn't prove them by facts at all. It's kind of like the story of the emperor whose two shysters sewed him some clothes that were made out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And the little boy, as the emperor went down and everybody said, oh, the clothes are beautiful, and all the little boy said, the emperor has no clothes. And so we're back to that situation where the children are being deceived and told things that just absolutely are not true. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some of them are believing it. And they then become, they become apostles to go out and evangelists to go out and recruit others into this wicked way of thinking. But the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, is the wisdom of God. And wait, so anyway, that but if they'll go to 10 laws, and you can spell it out or put the number in either one, but it's TNLAWS.US, and that's the website.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think, Brother Charlie, this, that in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And I think of this, that as believers, amongst other things, we as believers were to be diligent students of God's Word, believers who read and meditate on the Word of God. But also, we're counseled by the Word of God to decorate our homes with the Word of God. But also, we're to be witnesses of sharing, who share the Word of God with the world. And so one more wonderful way to be just such a witness is to get one of these yard signs, plant it in your yard so that your whole neighborhood can see God's Word. So we'll pick up more there on the other side as we share. Our phone guest today is Brother Charlie Wysong of the Ten Commandments Project. We'll be right back. Elevation Worship with Grateful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Thank you, Father, once again for us as your church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first every day. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, our phone guest today is Brother Charlie Wysong, and he's the director of a ministry called an outreach called the Ten Commandments Project. And Brother Charlie, one more time, share the website if persons are interested in getting one of the Ten Commandments yard signs and planting it in their front yard as a witnessing tool. Tell them how they can do that again.
Okay. The website is 10laws.us. 10laws.us. I started to say, I don't want to say the word, I believe it. But anyway, 10laws.us. And you can put the number 10 or spell the word out. Either way, it'll work. Let me say this. I think we, something as simple as this. So here's what I did. My brother comes up from Atlanta, and he sees my home is different. And honestly, I didn't understand what was happening, but by the time my brother got up here and asked that question, I did understand, and God again just showed me. It wasn't I figured it out. It was God revealed it to me, and I read in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21, God says if mom and daddy would follow the commandments, would teach them to the children daily, and put a copy up in the home, write them on your doorpost, he said, I'll make your days and the days of your children, quote, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And so I told my brother, this is what has happened in my home. And I just never understood that before. But I've been saved for 57 years now, and I do not remember anybody ever preaching on that passage and bringing out the fact that we could have such order in our homes that it's like heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. But I've lived that way for 30 years now, and I have seen God do miraculous things mm-hmm. In my children's lives and in my life and my wife's life. One of our children, I did hold up a framed copy to my children, mm-hmm. and I held it up, and I said, these are the laws that are going to govern this home. Mm-hmm. I turned around, I put them on the wall, I said, I am to obey them, Mama's to obey them, you're to obey them. And that day, my home changed. Mm-hmm. Now, but I started praying like you're talking about. I started praying down the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, God, I pray we live in a land where we have no other gods before us, where we don't worship idols. And I pray just like you did. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in USA Today, the newspaper, I saw a little article about Jackson County, Kentucky, putting the Ten Commandments up in all of their classrooms mm-hmm. right after the Columbine High School massacre. They mm-hmm. said, it's not going to happen here. Mm-hmm. And they put the Ten Commandments in every classroom. Mm-hmm. The ACLU wrote them a letter and said, take them down or we'll sue you. The superintendent of the schools threw the letter in the trash and kept the Ten Commandments up, and they're still up to this day. Mm-hmm. So, and that was 1999. Mm-hmm. And so,
thank God for courageous leaders like that.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. But yes, thank the Lord for courageous men like that. Mm-hmm. And I just talked to a sheriff, and he said that the ACLU had written him and said, you can't take prisoners to this passion play and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's all that. And said, and we want a response. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a response. He said, we'll be loading the bus with all the prisoners that want to go, and all of them did want to go, mm-hmm. and we'll be taking them to whatever church it was. And he said, and if you would like to go with us, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've never heard from him since.
And, you know, Brother Charlie, I think of this again. Praise God for, again, leaders like that. And of course, obviously, what the leadership of the state of Louisiana has recently done in deciding they want to put it up in every classroom, that's leadership. That's leadership yes. that will bless our communities, our nation, our world, because there's nothing our children need more than the Word of God and the wisdom of the Word of God and the grace on the Word of God as well. And thank God for what leadership in the state of Oklahoma is working on, and apparently there are yes. leaders in a number of states that are working on wanting to do something similar to what Louisiana has done as well. Again, that's the kind of leadership that will bless our nation and our world. Lord, thank you for leaders like that, that think along yes, the Father. Line of recognizing that you are the key to everything, and your word is the key to everything. Lord, more and more raise up righteous leaders that will boldly stand for truth and boldly do the right thing. And Lord, more and more remove unrighteous leaders that don't love you, that don't want to honor you, that don't want to do things your way. And help us, Lord, to pray much for our leaders, that they would be committed to you, your word, and doing the right thing when you place them in office. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity to be your hands and feet. Lord, we pray for every listener. Stir every one of us to boldly be wise yes. enough to decide, yes, I'm going to get a Ten Commandments yard sign put in my home. I'm going to get a set of the Ten Commandments, place them in my home. I'm going to be sure they're up on the wall in my local church. And help us just to be wise enough to know that there's wisdom in placing your word in plain sight for all to see, including our children, knowing that there's power, yes. anointing, and grace upon your word, much of which sometimes we may not have even fully comprehend how powerful your word is all by itself. And so when people see your word posted in places, yes, it will have an effect on their lives. Yes, it will point them to you. Yes, it will point them to light. And help us to know, Lord, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
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 Now, let me say this. One of the things I'm trying to do is do this county by county. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to do the whole United States. I want to do a county. And finding, number one, 3 to 5 good men who understand their responsibility to stand in the gap for their county.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I appreciate about you, Brother Joseph, is you do understand your responsibilities before God, and you take them very seriously. And you're living a life like our founding fathers lived. You know, serious. We're doing great things. We must be diligent in what we're doing, and mm-hmm. and not think of ourselves as grasshoppers. And our Christian world is really infected with this all this foolish talking and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that's something that you don't engage in, and you take seriously your responsibilities from God. So.
And you know, Brother Charlie, I think it's good for us to note this, that God encourages all of us to be bold in the way we follow him. And, you know, as we were speaking of earlier, it's good for us to know that, like, the wonderful story of David and Goliath is a story that lots of people know the story. But it's important to understand it has powerful life lessons about applying your faith in life, that every single listener, we would be wise to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and read and study and meditate and read and study and meditate over and over and over again. Because some of the faith lessons in that chapter, yes, they have implications for every believer in the world. We're called to courageously do what God has called us to do. And each of us can either choose to be courageous about it, or we can be timid and miss out on many opportunities of what God has clearly called us to do. So courageously following him is so very important, though. But thoughts that come to your mind about that?
Go ahead. I was going to say, don't you think? So all of a sudden, David and Goliath walk out onto the field together. Mm-hmm. He's got a sword and a spear. They are close quarters. Close quarters do they work. Mm-hmm. David isn't at close quarters. He's 50 feet away from him, at least 50 feet away from him. Mm-hmm. And he's got a sling, and everybody sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Goliath is never going to touch David, but mm-hmm. David is going to touch Goliath.
That's right. I'll bet
you there's some in the army that says, I wish I had thought of that.
And, you know, as we were speaking of earlier, David defeated Goliath with a rock and his own sword. And the word of God is the word of God is a rock, and it's the sword of the Spirit. And so as we use God's word wisely and productively, there's nothing the Word of God cannot do. But, Brother Charlie, our time is just about gone. In the last 30 seconds, anything further you want to share with our listeners about getting involved with this project?
I just say, if they go to the website, and honestly, this is not just about getting 10 Commandments up in our yards. It's about changing the way we train our children.
Mm-hmm.
It's following Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11. In the way God said to raise our children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we should never underestimate what God will do with his word. And because I real briefly, before we run out of time, share about the neighbor who put their sign up.
Yes.
And what happened with his neighbors.
Our music director at our church put a Ten Commandments yard sign in his yard, and he said he has a neighbor. They said they cannot utter a sentence without taking God's name in vain. And he said they have not taken God's name in vain since he put the sign up.
A reminder of the power behind God's word. So one more time, the website, if someone wants to order a set of the Ten Commandments for their a yard sign for their home.
All right. It's 10laws.us. 10laws.us. And that's going to be a spell it out or the number 10. Either way, it'll work.
Okay? All right. Thank you so much, Brother Charlie, once again for being with us today. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the commitment of committing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned. I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've ever done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect and be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and begin to put down deep roots in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us once again. That's joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Also, if you want any of the resource articles and Christian education articles we share, same email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Once again, we're grateful to have had as our phone guest, Brother Charlie Wysong. Brother Charlie, would you share one more time if someone wants to get Ten Commandments yard sign, tell them the website to go to do that.
All right. The website to go to is 10laws.us.
All right.
10laws.
Thanks so much for being with us once again.
All right. Thank you, Brother Joseph.
All right. Thanks for listening. And please pray much for Brother Charlie Wysong and this great outreach. We're believing the Lord with him for at least 1 million signs to be placed in yards in our nation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.